SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, Carver, I got to tell you, like, this Tiafoe, Francis Tiafoe, is up two sets on Rublev, the 9 seed, in the quarters at the U.S. Open in men's singles. This kid beat Nadal, and now he is up 7-6, 7-6, two up on Rublev. He's got Rublev cussing and screaming on the court. He's out of his mind in terms of he's definitely living rent-free inside his head because he's all over him. And he's one set away from the semis. I think the guy's playing phenomenal tennis. I have to tell you that, you know, when, like, Wimbledon's going on or the French, and I love Nadal. Rafa at the French is just the most automatic thing I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anyone play on clay like that. I grew up playing on clay, and it's a different game. But no one cares about the Aussie, the French, and I know people – try to sell you Wimbledon as the greatest sporting event in the world. And I have to tell you that it's not even on the same level as the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open is the greatest tennis tournament in the world, bar none, hands down. With the way they play, it's faster on the hard court, and all the pomp and circumstance, all the money, all the fame, all the riches, all the celebrities that are at these matches, these are the greatest tennis matches. I have watched the U.S. Open every single day, 10 days, nonstop. You watched it last night, 1 in the morning. I would watch Wimbledon for 10 days straight, then fly a kite like I care about all these English people with their tea and their crumpets and their fish and chips. Honestly, and my nephew lives there in London. Screw him, too. It can't hold a candle to the U.S. Open. That's all there is to it.
I agree with you. I enjoy the U.S. Open more than the other ones. I was up till 1 a.m. last night. I got into the Kyrgios match big time. He was hurt early. It looked like he wasn't even going to make it past the first set. He had some problems with one of his legs, fought through it, got it to a fifth set, just ran out of gas. And if you did stay up till 1 a.m., you got to see him explode. After the match was over, throwing the rackets all over the court.
Aren't you used to that now?
But that's, like, why I tuned in. Like, I'm not watching these boring guys. Like, Haro said yesterday, people are going to tune in this week to watch Kyrgios win. Unfortunately, Kyrgios is out now. So if you want to get behind Tiafoe, that's cool. But I was in it to watch Kyrgios. Also put a live bet in on him last night, too.
Another, I think Tiafoe was plus $1.10 today. Again, a dog against Rublev. Yeah. So he's gonna beat him. You would think he's going to finish him off up two. He's in his head to win both in a tiebreak, and he's just stroking it so hard and so fast all over the court. He's literally just going off on him. Cross-court winners left and right. His serve is untouchable. I think the kid's going to the semis. He might win the whole thing.
And the biggest problem they also do have, and we do this every year, especially in a year where maybe you don't have the name that everybody's used to, they play that men's final at like 4 o'clock on Sunday, the first week of the NFL. Like, it's very hard for anybody, especially the casual sports fan, to lock into the U.S. Open final when they've got a whole bunch of NFL games kicking off at 4:25 on Sunday.
They're going to lose. They're going to lose. But look. I watched on Sunday and Labor Day. I watched tennis all day. I never watched anything else. The baseball was just not happening. And I literally watched every match, every shot, every serve. And it is just fantastic. And I've never felt that way about Wimbledon. We welcome all of our radio affiliates, Sirius, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have you with us on a Wednesday, coast to coast. I mean, it is so different, the level of those tournaments. Like, I don't deny that Wimbledon is cool. I don't deny that it's a great tournament. I don't deny that it's a special place. I'm not stupid. But I'm telling you, there is no comparison to this tournament. This is the greatest tennis tournament in the world, bar none. The rest of the season, no one cares about tennis. No one. No one cares about any Cincinnati, Toronto, Indian Wells. I mean, honestly, Davis Cup. I mean, no one gives a rat's ass. But the U.S. Open, I don't even care if you call it the U.S. Open. It's the last great slam of the year, and it just so happens it's on hard courts. It's fast. It's violent. And all the celebs are out, and the lights, the pomp, the, you know, prime time. They're playing late at night. It is great. It really is a great sporting event. I have to tell you, it's really cool. I've been to it, and it is awesome to go to. If you've never gone to the U.S. Open, bucket list it. And let me tell you, you can go there and get absolutely hammered. They have, I mean, there's a drink at every 10 steps.
I actually have never been to the U.S. Open, but I would like to go. I would like to go, and you're right. I'd probably have myself quite the day out there at the tennis center with the beverages flowing.
We should do coast to coast out there next year. They probably wouldn't let us. They'd say my language is too foul. I'm too loud.
We don't want that loud guy out there in the concourse while all the matches are going on. We can't have that guy yelling and screaming all over the place. Get Cliff involved on Coast to Coast Live from the
tennis. I'm surprised they even let him broadcast anymore. They got so many women doing that now. Literally, he's like the only guy left standing. It's chick tennis at its highest level. And by the way, I hit that fat women's quarter day with Sabalenka, whatever her name is, minus a buck and a quarter. Had that puppy going on for allonthebench.com that ain't making people stacks.
There you go. I like to hear that. We'll come back. I'm going to give you a couple baseball from last night. Tonight's games, we have a lot of NFL to do as well here on Coast to Coast when we come back, Scott.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You have to see it to believe it. I just saw one of the ball girls. I thought it was a tattoo when she bent over to get the ball at the net, but it actually said at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV on her arm, and I'm a little surprised that they were able to manipulate her into getting that tattoo. It was probably one of those like day tattoos, like the one that washes off later, because her parents would probably get mad, unless her dad loves the winning edge, and he may have forced her to get the tattoo, but I did notice that just now at the U.S. Open. You need to follow us on social media. It's better for you, and probably permanent ink is as well. All right, Carver, hi.
Yes, let's do this. Last night, Phillies beat the Marlins 3-2 in Philadelphia. Gene Segura, Scotty, the walk-off at the bottom of the ninth on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
And a line drive base hit it to right field. Garcia gets to it. Here comes Harper. The throw to the plate is not in time! Gene Segura's just won it in the bottom of the ninth inning with a line drive single to right center field that brings home Bryce Harper, and the Phillies win it 3-2.
By the way, Carver High, the Scoop Mitch told us they've lost eight in a row. They're awful. Bet against them every night now the rest of the season because they're obviously glad bag city. Secondly, I'm surprised that Bryce Harper didn't end up with 15 torn ligaments when he slid home because he got injured every time he does anything crazy, which sliding home is crazy. And then thirdly, Aaron Judge just hit his 55th home run.
Double nickel for Aaron Judge. Gets to 55.
Seven away.
Still 3-1 Twins lead. The Twins had actually made it a 3-0 game, and then Judge hit the homer. That Yankee lineup is so putrid today, Scotty. Like, I get you got a 3-0 lead. I guess solo home runs can't really kill you, but why even pitch to him with some of the stiffs that they have in that lineup today? Like, why even pitch to Judge? Why give him anything to hit? I mean, I'm glad
he
hit.
Do you ever see him
get
walked?
Yeah.
Who walks him? Everyone thinks they can get him out.
Yeah, they think wrong. That's for sure.
Well, I think they all think he can't hit that slider. And then, he's going to off-speed stuff and sliders, he misses. You throw a fastball at that guy, he's going to hit it out no matter what. And if it's a low fastball, believe me, he's gonna crank it up in the air. But he gets burned on that outside of the plate slider going away. That's what they think they can get him on every time. I rarely see this guy get walked. It's not like Bonds when he was doing it. They walked him every night.
We will see if he can add to that total today. Of course, the Yankees have another game tonight with the Twins. I'm sure he'll be in the lineup. He's the only guy that's any good, so you might as well put him out there for both games. Orioles, after getting swept in that doubleheader, Scotty, got one back from the Jays last night. Ed Camden, 9-6. Adley Rutschman getting involved on Masson.
Rutschman, ball left side, tucked it inside the bag. Two runs are in. Mullen stops at third. Rutschman stops at second. It's his first career hit with the bases loaded. It is an opposite field two-run double.
I mean, I haven't been caught up in a rookie of the year stuff. Am I tripping to think that he should be in the conversation? I think the guy's been great.
I think that they've already handed it to Julio Rodriguez, especially in the betting market. I think that Julio, having such a good year that he's having in Seattle, unfortunately, Rutschman is probably going to finish second or third, I would have to think, Scotty, because you're right. And their entire season changed when they called him up. As soon as they called him up was when they started playing good ball. They were well under 500 when they brought him up in late May, early June, and they have been very good since then. Rays beat the Red Sox 8-4 last night. Rays experimented, Scotty, with the old NBA, NHL-style morning workout before the night game. I guess it didn't go very well because they still lost to the Rays 8-4. Cora said they were just trying it out. They might think about doing it again in the future.
I don't think it's the worst
thing
idea
for baseball. Yeah, I guess. He did say they were able to get the nap, and that's what the NHL guys love. They love getting that afternoon nap after the morning skate. They get the afternoon nap in, and then they go back to the rink. Maybe they're on to something. Who knows? We'll have to see if they continue to try.
I like an afternoon nap too, Carver High, but the problem is if I have anybody I don't like on my mind, I just don't sleep. If I hate you and you're on my mind, it attacks me from sleeping. And if I'm losing bets, I don't sleep. If there's a game, I told you what I do. In that Clemson game the other night, 17-10, I just went to bed. I couldn't take it anymore because I had so much money riding on Clemson laying 23 and a hook that I couldn't even watch it because the language coming out of my mouth. And everyone that doesn't like my language or my loud voice, I hate you forever.
7-0 Rockies now, by the way, as they continue to pour it on against the Brewers out at Coors Field. Padres beat the Diamondbacks 6-5 last night. Merrill Kelly and the D-backs had a 5-0 lead in this game, Scotty. And away it went. Then in the ninth, Jorge Alfaro does it again. Tons of walk-offs for the Padres this year at home on Bally Sports San Diego.
Up the middle, in the center field. Crowder will score. Here comes Myers. Here comes the Padres. Walk-off win. Jorge Alfaro has done it again.
You knew I bet on San Diego last night, but I wanted that Arizona bet. I was struggling with taking our boy Merrill Lynch Kelly and the D-backs, how well they've played lately over the last 3 weeks. And again, they gave the Padres fits, and San Diego barely got by. I was lucky to hit that bet.
Cubs beat the Reds. Cards did beat the Nationals last night. Cleveland beat the Royals. Rangers beat the Astros 4-3.
Oh, that killed me. Oh, God.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
I had that minus a run and a half, and I had it over 4.5 runs. And when I saw that it was like, at one point, it was like, you know, 2-3 or something. And I was like, oh, Christ. Oh, no. And then I just knew I was never going to get the run and a half. I just knew it. And then another example, that game was in about the seventh inning. And I said last night, I can't even take it anymore. I'm turning the phone. I'm going to bed. I go to bed now when I'm stressed out over bets. If I can't hit a bet when I'm awake, I just go to bed. And then I never sleep well. And I think poorly of people I don't like. And there's a lot of them.
We don't like that. The Yankees, we mentioned, put Rizzo on the IL. Donaldson went on paternity leave. Cast of thousands missing in the Bronx today for those two games against the Twins.
No one cares about his Yankees, baby.
Yankees president Randy Levine says that Hal Steinbrenner has and will continue to be very competitive with offers to Aaron Judge. Now, listen, Levine usually opens his mouth a little bit too much, Scotty. He did say, I listened to some of this. He did say some stuff that will probably upset Judge and his camp, basically saying, does he want to be here? It's a negotiation. It's going to be up to him. We know his worth. It takes two to tango. We don't know what's on his mind. This guy Levine always shoves the foot in the mouth, Scotty, and I think he's doing it again with Judge here. They will pay him. We both know that, but they're playing the game just like he does.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's always Randy Levine opening up his mouth and speaking for the Yankees. And Hal Steinbrenner's like an introvert. This guy's a recluse. You can't even get him outside in public. I couldn't even believe he went to Paul O'Neill Day. Here's the deal. I don't know how many times I have to say this. They're either going to give him $425 or more million, or he's leaving. So they have to give him somewhere in the neighborhood of $425 to $450 million, and that's just all there is to it, or he's gone.
Negotiations have to be in the realm of reality, not unreality.
That is reality. Reality is giving him Mike Trout money, and he's better than Trout.
Apparently not.
He's only 25 home runs more than Trout at this point. 25 more.
That is why we offered him the highest all-time position player contract in the history of the Yankees. They love throwing that out there, that $300 million that they offered him.
That offer sucked. That was the worst offer ever.
I hope they don't think that that's what he's going to sign for at the end of this year, especially when he finishes with about 65, 67 home runs.
He's going to get two times that. They offered him 230, they're going to give him 430.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
Look at your boy Carver High shifting the lion's share to the second hour, getting involved over here.
Yes, of course. That is what we do now. The middle hour of Coast to Coast, we have the lion's share brought to you by BetMGM. I don't know if we did enough for everybody last night, Scotty. I know you always like to say that. Did we do enough with Bo Bichette at plus 600 with that home run, or the Blue Jays and the Orioles to both score four or more runs at plus 180, or Framber Valdez to go over 6.5. He only had 11. Nola, I think, had 10 or 11 strikeouts also for the Phillies. Pretty good night, I would say, on the lion's share. So let's keep it going here on a Wednesday, Scotty. We will start with the strikeouts, of course, and Blue Jays and Orioles again at Camden tonight. We'll start with Alek Manoah for the Jays. His number's 5.5 tonight, plus 100 to the over, minus 140 to the under. He's over 5.5 in his last four starts. He's faced the Orioles three times already this year, over in two of those three starts. Plus money for that over, Scotty. Very fishy, but think he'll get to the six. Think he'll just get.
I mean, he had 6 and 8 in his last two. He's been brilliant away. 7-3 with a 2.3 ERA and a 81 K pace. I'm with you there. Automatic. I think he'll get it done.
Next, the Rays and the Sox at the Trop. We've never went to Jeffrey Springs on the lion's share before, Scotty. Of course, the first few months of the season, he was the opener for the Rays. Now they've extended him out. He's pitching deeper into games. 5.5 is the number, plus 105 to the over, minus 150 to the under. He's over 5.5 in five of his last six starts. Faced the Red Sox 2 weeks ago, put up an eighth spot against them at Fenway. Let's go over with Springs again tonight with the 5.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go over with you for sure. His last two were 7 and 8, the 8 being against the Red Sox. He lost to him in that game at Fenway. We'll see if he can win tonight at the Trop against Boston. But I like the over.
We will go. Last night we had Valdez with the Astros. He got us way over the 6.5. Christian Javier tonight also faces the Rangers. 6.5 is the number for Javier. Minus 145 to the over, plus 100 to the under. Now, Javier, Scotty, under 6.5 in five of his last eight starts, but he has faced the Rangers four times this year. This is fifth start, 7-7, 9-4 in those previous four starts. So 3 out of 4 to the over. I'll go over with Javier again tonight.
Yeah, you know, but he beat Texas and had 7. And what do we need here? We need seven again.
Seven, yes. 6.5 the number for Javier tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to stay under based on the fact that he's seen him so much and they continue to struggle when they play the Texas Rangers for some reason. They beat everyone else's ass. Can't beat the Texas Rangers. I mean, honest to Christ. So I'm not going to bet on him to do it tonight. I hope you get it right, though.
And finally, for the strikeout, Scotty, we do have you, Darvish, tonight for the Padres against the Diamondbacks. Once again, Darvish's number is 6.5 tonight. He's over 6.5 in 6 of his last 9 starts. He's faced Arizona 3 times this year, 9-8-3. I'll go over for Darvish as well. 6.5 for you.
Yeah, he'll go over 6.5. His last one was 9, but then he's 6-6, 9-5. So he has his moments where he doesn't strike out a lot of guys. I think he gets it done tonight, and they win and they cover. I got him laying 1.5 in that game against the D-backs. I think he's going to dominate tonight.
There you go. Those are the strikeouts for the lion's share. It's tater time. Scotty, we got some guys with some stellar career numbers off of some starting pitchers. We will start with Rhys Hoskins in Philadelphia against the Fish. Rogers, of course, is going for them. How about Rhys? 7-for-16 with 3 homers off of Rogers. +260 for Hoskins tonight. Let's ring the bell.
Boom. And, you know, I'm on some sea salt with Harper tonight as well in Philadelphia, and the Marlins lose every game they play.
They do. I wouldn't mind, you're right, diving into a couple of guys on the Phillies tonight. You want to get Harper involved? You want to get the Schwarbaum out there? I think you have a couple of opportunities with Rogers. Not very good. Next, Cardinals and the Nationals again. Tyler O'Neill is where I'm going to go, Scotty. Now, this is also a grab bag. You want to go with Goldschmidt. You want to go with Arenado. Corey Abbott, who is going for the Nationals tonight. But how about O'Neill? 2-for-2 against Abbott. Both hits, home runs. 2-for-2 with 2 homers off of him. +350 for Tyler O'Neill.
Anytime Carver puts out some no-name guy that I think has no chance at all to hit a home run or that has a +600 on the window, I'm going with from now on. So if it's O'Neill, then Tatum O'Neill, let's go.
Well, don't worry. I've got one even deeper than that for you at the end of Tater Time than even Tyler O'Neill. But first, we'll go to Manny Machado with the Padres tonight. Machado, 4 homers in his last 9 games, Scotty. +260 for him tonight. The Diamondbacks, of course, have the lefty Tommy Henry going for them. Machado, big fly at Petco with the soft serve ice cream.
Yeah, Machado, give me a Soto, and give me a Cronenworth while you're at it with cheese. I'll take all kinds of long balls tonight. I need him to win by 2 runs. Come on!
Now, here is the final one. This is the deep dive of the night for Tater Time, and it is for the Rays going up against the Red Sox at the Trop. Isaac Paredes, Scotty, at +450. Now, why do we do this? Nick Pivetta goes for the Sox tonight. Paredes, 3-for-5 and 2 homers off Pivetta. Let's ring the bell at +450.
Far be it from me to get off of this train. I'm with you on everything. I don't care because you just keep making everybody fat stacks.
Let's make it happen. Some good past history tonight for Tater Time on the lion's share. We are
Jamie
not done,
Fox
of course.
Should be playing our home run bets. That guy needs to get in on the lion's share, all of our home run props. I mean, and he can finally pay off some of those bills he's got on the kitchen table.
I tweeted at him yesterday when he was looking for tips. I said, you got to watch
too.
The grid. You got to watch coast to coast. Make it happen. And then you'll be all set for the season.
Game
props. We talked about all the Philly guys hitting home runs against Rogers and the Marlins. Well, let's take the Phillies to win tonight, Scotty, at home. And we'll move the total down to 6.5. Phillies win over 6.5 at +150 tonight.
Bro, that's automatic. I mean, that's automatic. They're going to score 7 runs themselves. I mean, that's automatic.
That's why I like that one. I think that whenever I think they can cover the number on their own, that's usually one that I like to go to. Next,
fair enough.
Astros and the Rangers. This time, We will also move the number, but go under. Astros to win tonight with Javier, under 8.5 at plus 165. Astro win, under 8.5 runs scored, plus 165.
Yeah, your boy Reagan's, you know, I'll take a stab at it. I mean, I'm not going to argue with it. It's right around 7 or 8. What, we got to keep it under?
Under 8.5. I bumped it up a little bit, so.
I like it. I like it.
Little 5-1 Astro win tonight. We'll cover
Ronald Reagan's and Javier are both, you know, under 3. So let's go.
Yep, they both are. Let's make it happen.
Ronald Reagan is a 4-4, excuse me.
There you go. And finally, for the game props, we will go to Kansas City, the Guardians and the Royals. Zach Greinke on the mound for Kansas City. Cody, don't call me Zach Morris for the Guardians. Both teams to score 3 or more runs at plus 120 tonight. Guardians and the Royals, doesn't matter who wins. Both teams to score 3 or more at plus 120.
Yeah, I just don't think the Royals are going to score 3 runs the rest of the season.
I mean, I'm not a fan of Zach Morris.
He's awful. Yeah, he's been awful this year. He needs to retire. He just doesn't even care. He doesn't want any part of it. Like, when he goes out, I've never seen a bigger mope in all my life in baseball. He's the biggest mope. And then everyone's going to give me that, you know, Scott, you got to stop, you know, criticizing people that have mental health issues. You know, whatever, okay? If you're not into it and you're not happy making $50 million a year, can't you just put some duct tape on your face and smile at least?
Greinke goes tonight against the Guardians. I think they'll both score 3 runs. Little plus buck 20 there.
Carver, I'm always smiling when I make money. You know that. Whenever I'm making money, I'm hitting bets, I'm the nicest guy in town. If I'm not winning bets, I'm not very nice. I got foul mouth, too. Oh, I'm such a horrible person. I live in New York City. I'm sorry I'm bigger and badder than you. Sorry you live in Christianville. Sorry I don't go to mass with you in the morning and light a candle. I'm too evil hitting bets. I am evil.
There you go. The lion's share on BetMGM for tonight. Strikeouts, woo! Taters, and woo! The game props. Go and get them tonight, Scotty. That is for sure. And DeGrom and Cole are both going tonight. They're usually pretty good. I didn't have their numbers because it's doubleheaders. But I'm sure when you get numbers closer to game time with DeGrom against the Buccos, you'll want to take a
ride
with
him tonight. What did your neighbors say last night with you dancing around your underwear in the front yard at 1 in the morning with a can of Bud Light of 40? What were they saying?
Yeah, they weren't too thrilled. They just heard me kept yelling, plus 600.
Plus 600, baby.
They heard me yelling.
Bo Bichette. I love that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, let's look at the ones that are going to happen tonight or later this afternoon. There's some evening Twin Bills starting up and some night games out west.
Yes, we do have a couple of second legs of doubleheaders in Pittsburgh and New York and other games. We'll start at PNC. Mets took the game earlier this afternoon. Tonight, they'll go for the sweep with Jacob DeGrom on the hill, Scotty. Avito, the kid, is going for the Pirates. Mets, here's the lumber of the day. We thought there was a lot of heavy lumber. How's minus 400 sound to you with DeGrom going? The Pirates are plus 310. Total is 7.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's so embarrassing. They have no chance against DeGrom at all in any facet of any stretch of the imagination. In the run line, in the total, in the money line, there is no getting around this. I want no part of this game, but it's the Mets.
Next, the Red Sox and the Rays at the Trop again. Nick Pivetta against Jeffrey Springs. Rays minus 190, Red Sox plus a buck 55, low total of flat 7.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, you look at this game, and I think, you know, frankly, you know, obviously, I think Springs is favored here with his low ERA, and they're at home, and they're playing better than the Red Sox. But I think Pivetta can keep him in this game. And I, you know, it's not the worst bet in the world if I got a run and a half at minus -140 with Boston, but I think the Rays will probably beat them.
The Fish are in Philadelphia again tonight. They've lost 8 in a row, just looking really bad. They have Rodgers tonight. Falter goes for the Phillies, who are minus -165, 7.5 the total.
You know, I'm betting on the over, and I'm betting on the Phillies again. I think, you know, obviously both of these pitchers have struggled, but Falter a little bit less than Rodgers.
Blue Jays and the Orioles again at Camden Yards. Manoah and Wells are the starters tonight. Blue Jays road favorites minus -145, plus +120 for the O's, 7.5 the total. Orioles trying to get back again after winning last night, and then get back to within 2.5 if they win tonight.
I'm probably on Manoah here and the Jays to win, but I could see, getting that run and a half at minus -140. I don't have a problem with that. I'll tell you what, I mean, it's going to be a good game. They almost fought last night, so they don't like each other. And after they got swept in the doubleheader on Labor Day, they turned around and won last night, right, 9-6. They want to win this game and even this thing up. So I don't think it's the worst bet in the world at plus +122 for the Orioles to beat Manoah.
The Yankees and the Twins will try to play a second game tonight in the Bronx. Gerrit Cole will go for the Yankees. Ryan goes for the Twinkies, minus -200 for New York. A low total, 6.5 for Cole and Ryan tonight in the Bronx.
I got to tell you, that, I mean, are they going to roll out that same crappy lineup tonight? They're going to have to, right? So I think Ryan can beat Gerrit Cole. Believe it or not, like, this is not a playoff game. In the playoffs, I think it's a done deal. In a game in early September, with a lineup as crappy as the one they're rolling out there, I think Ryan can beat him.
And Cole's worst start of the year, Scotty, was against the Twins in Minnesota. Gave up 7 runs in 2 1/3 innings a few months ago. So the Twins have had some success against him this year. Reds and the Cubbies at Wrigley, Minor, and Assad are the pitchers. Cubs minus -145, total of 8.
Yeah, you know... Can you imagine? I mean, Minor's so awful. He's been just terrible. He gives up 6 runs a game. I like the Cubs again. They beat him last night. I'm going to go back to the well.
Jordan Montgomery for the Cardinals tonight against the Washington Nationals. We know how good he has been for the Redbirds. Minus -300 for St. Louis, plus +240 for the Nationals, who have Abbott going. 7.5 is the total.
He's going to beat him, and I'm on the Cardinals, but that price is so high. I did it at minus -1.5 at minus -140, and I like the under 8. I think Montgomery will deal on the Nats all night. Easy work.
We mentioned that Greinke and Morris are the starters for the Guardians and the Royals at Kauffman tonight. Cleveland is the road favorite, minus -140, plus +115 for Kansas City. Total a flat 8.
I mean, this pitcher for Cleveland's awful, okay? And Greinke's not awful, but he's been bad this year. I could see this being a decent game because of that, and I could see the Royals getting 1.5 on a run line as a bet that I'd be interested in. I don't think I'm taking him. But look, Greinke can win this game at plus +122. I mean, he can do it. If you're going to beat him, tonight's the night, because Cleveland's already, like, just throwing anybody out there to get it over with. So I think the Royals actually have a shot tonight.
Rangers and the Astros at Minute Maid again. Christian Javier, as we talked about before, Reagans goes for the Rangers. Minus -275 for Houston now, plus +220 for Texas, 8 the total.
I mean, I just cannot believe that they're going to lose to them again. No way. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, they've got to win this game tonight. I'm on the Astros.
And finally, the Diamondbacks are at Petco again tonight. Yu Darvish gets the ball for San Diego. Henry goes for Arizona, minus -225 for the Padres, total of 8.5.
Tommy Henry hasn't pitched that bad, to be honest with you, for the Diamondbacks, and they've been playing great baseball lately. I don't think he beats Yu Darvish at Petco, though. I think this game's going to be good, though. And I'm dangerously taking the Padres laying a 1.5.
There you go. There is your night in Major League Baseball. We gave you all the games. We gave you the props. Everything. Let's cash some more tickets tonight, Scotty, with the hardball. And why? Because tomorrow we've been having just baseball. It's been our focus forever, Scotty. Months and months on Coast to Coast. Tomorrow, pain day. Payday tomorrow night. Bills and the Rams at SoFi. Get excited. Just a little bit more than 24 hours away from now. Let's hear from Jalen Ramsey, Scotty. Of course, he has been nursing some injuries. He had the shoulder surgery in the offseason, and he is ready to go against Buffalo tomorrow night. Everybody's been pumping up the Bills, right, Scotty? Don't expect Jalen Ramsey to do that ahead of this game. Here he is.
Eager to finally just get it going and sort of break the seal.
Yeah, for sure. I am excited.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, seems excited.
Good enough.
Yeah, what do you guys see from Josh Allen?
He good. Yeah. Yeah, a good team. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I'm not about to sit up here and boost him up like y'all might want. Like maybe other people doing. I ain't doing that. I ain't gonna be extra. They good, you know what I mean? But we good too over here. So we'll see him on Thursday. We're gonna play football. But I ain't gonna sit here and boost nobody up. Nobody. I got respect for him, but I got more respect for the game and the way that I prepare and the way my teammates been preparing and our trust and belief in each other. So I'll boost us up. I'll talk about us and our preparation. But, you know, they can do that with them over there. We're gonna go out there Thursday and we're gonna put our best effort out there and, you know, do what we gotta do.
I gotta be honest with you. That was kind of refreshing, wasn't it? He just told it like it is. He's like, I'm not about to sit up here and start giving them love. You must be tripping. We won the Super Bowl over here. They just go and lose big games at all. So you better understand who we are here. That's what he was saying. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be a great football game. You know what? This game is so big. It's literally, I'll bet it's as good as the Super Bowl. That's how great this game's going to be without an hour halftime show and without all the glitter and without all, they're just going to have an opening night type of fiasco going on. But the matchup itself, I don't even think you could drum up a better Super Bowl than this game.
A lot of people think this could be a preview of the Super Bowl in Arizona when we get there in February, Scotty. That's how good these two teams are supposed to be this year. The Bills, as we know, are extremely hyped up. They are the preseason Super Bowl favorite for the first time since 1991. That was the last time they were the favorites going into the year. Not only are they that, they are the favorites on the road at SoFi tomorrow night. We'll dive into this more tomorrow. Still 2.5 for the Bills in this game. A hefty total is one as well as 52 tomorrow night. They're expecting a lot of points with Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford and company all out on the field.
Well, I think the Bills can win 13, 14 games out of 17. I really do. But I have to tell you, I think they got their hands full on Thursday night in L.A. I don't like the fact they're starting rookies in the secondary against Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson and Higbee. All three of those guys are Pro Bowlers and star players that make big-time plays and big-time catches. And we talked about it with Adam Kaplan yesterday. Now, I don't doubt Buffalo's talent. I just said they could win 14 games. But I am telling you, there is no way I believe some rookie kid can guard any of those three. I don't care who it is. This is the NFL on opening night on a fast track in L.A. Some rookie for Buffalo is going to stop. One of those rookies they're playing in that secondary is going to get lit up in that football game. They're going after both of them. I guarantee it. And you already know it. Without White, their secondary is a concern, and anyone that doesn't think so is an idiot.
Since they started having the Super Bowl champion host the Thursday night game to start the season, Scotty, the Super Bowl champion at home, straight up, no spread, 14-2. They win this game 14 out of 16 times.
Wow.
The Super Bowl champion wins the game. Which is what stuns me even more that the Bills are 2.5-point favorites at SoFi tomorrow night.
Well, they're that good. To me. They're that good. Yeah, but I'm leaning on the Rams, to be honest with you, even though I have no problem at all if the Bills win the game, I'm not some genius about every single game and every single spread and every single moment on earth. If I had that kind of skinny, I wouldn't be doing this and I wouldn't be living here. If I had that much, you know, if I was Biff and I knew every outcome of every game, I guarantee you I wouldn't be living here. Right here, right now. I guarantee it. I wouldn't be doing this right now either.
For Biff, the great sports.
I wish nothing more that I had that information, Carver High, about every sporting event. If I had that, you and I would be on a yacht.
I wish that I had it as well. The Bills also gave tight end Dawson Knox a 4-year extension today. That expects to place him in the top 5 paid tight ends in the National Football League. We will, of course, have more on this game tomorrow, wall-to-wall, Bills and the Rams. Lamar Jackson spoke this afternoon, Scotty, said today that Friday is the deadline. He will not discuss the contract anymore after Friday afternoon, but he did say they are still talking. So Lamar said Friday is the drop-dead date for his contract with the Ravens. He will not go further than that.
Well, if they get this deal done by Friday and they finally come to their senses and give him what he wants, I think they'll beat the hell out of the Jets. If they don't give him what he wants, I bet it's a good game.
I will tell you about the Jets' starting quarterback being finalized at the top of the hour here on Coast to Coast after this day in sports history. It's funny how things changed so quickly in 48 hours, Scotty. Really changed fast. Remember when there was a chance the guy was going to start on Sunday?
They've been saying that for weeks, that he's going to be ready for week one, and we always knew it would be Flacco to win.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Labor Day, Torres with a 2-run shot to tie up that game with the Twins. Yankees 3-3 right now, going to the bottom of the 7th. They're up, and it's all tied up. Giants, Dodgers, no score. It's time for Today in Carver High History.
Yes, 1955, Whitey Ford becomes the 5th major league pitcher to throw consecutive one-hitters. 1970, the White Sox used a record 41 players in a doubleheader. They lost both games. Nice job. 1974, Billie Jean King wins her 4th and final U.S. Open singles title. 1979, ESPN turned the lights on for the first time. 1980, John McEnroe defends his U.S. Open title by beating Bjorn Borg in 5 sets. 1984, Dwight Gooden, 11 strikeouts, gives him an NL rookie record, 236. Threw a one-hitter against the Cubs. 1986, Dan Marino, fastest quarterback in NFL history to throw for 100 touchdowns. Did it in 43 games. Patrick Mahomes would later break that mark. 1986, Yvonne Lendl defends his U.S. Open title. 88, Guy Lafleur, Tony Esposito, and Brad Park are inducted into the NHL Hall of Fame. 91, Ty Detmer, BYU quarterback, 11,606 career yards through the air. 1991, Monica Seles wins her first U.S. Open title. 1992, MLB Commissioner Faye Vincent resigns. Bud Selig was named interim commissioner. He ends up getting the job full-time down the line. 1998, Mark McGwire ties Roger Maris' single-season home run mark with his 61st home
Bulls
run
crap.
Of the season on his dad. Yes, exactly. 96, Steffi Graf won the U.S. Open. 97, Martina Hingis and Venus Williams play the youngest Grand Slam final in the Open era. Hingis would win. 2003, Roddick won the U.S. Open, his only Grand Slam title. Trevor Hoffman in 2010, first pitcher to reach 600 career saves. Serena won in 2014. Bianca Andreescu becomes the first Canadian to win a Grand Slam title at the U.S. Open. In 2020, Dustin Johnson won the PGA Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup. $15 million. He makes a lot more than that now playing on the LIV Tour.
He just won $4 million and had a party with Gretzky like nobody's
business. Big weekend. Big weekend in Boston.